Thank you very much, Greg. And happy Sabbath to everybody. And I want to thank everybody that prayed for me this last week because I sure needed it. I had a summer cold, and those things just take me apart, I'll tell you. This message is got a title to it. It's called The Seven Seals, and that's what I'll be talking about. And they're in Revelation 6. And so we'll be going through those. And a little explanation will go along with each one of them if I can figure out what I got here. Let's start out by going to Matthew 24. The first six verses. Matthew 24:1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call attention to the buildings. He said, "You see all these things?" he said. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Well, this surprised everybody as Jesus was sitting now on the Mount of Olives. He's outside on the Mount of Olives, not in Jerusalem. The disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." This is a predecessor to almost all the things that he talks about in the New Testament. Don't be deceived. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many people. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now I'm going to read also verse 26 because of a comment I'm going to make. "So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert," they're talking about the Messiah, "do not go out, or he's in an inner room, do not believe him." Well, 2 decades ago, about 20 years ago, when the radio was working in my car, I had it tuned to a religious station. This guy there was talking about the 153 fish that Jesus Christ told the disciples to throw on the right side of the boat they were in, and they'd catch a bunch of fish. And sure enough, they did. They caught 153 of them. Well, this preacher that was talking took that as a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And I thought, this guy don't know what he's talking about. Well, the whole thing came out that it wasn't very long before this was going to happen, and that Christ was coming back almost immediately. Well, come to find out, it was about 2 weeks before this time of 153 days was up. So I thought, I want to find out what this guy's talking about. So in the meantime, a week later, they bought a full-page ad in the New York Times saying that Christ is coming back on such and such a day, and he's going to be there. And we know that because of the prophecy of 153 fish. So I thought, boy, I don't know how they're going to get out of this one. But anyway, time went by, and sure enough, when the day came, they were off the air. They were off the air for 2 days. No hide nor hair of them at all. There was nothing. And I thought, what is going on now? So the third day, he come back and he said, "You know, Christ is here. Christ has come. Christ is here." And he said he did come. And guess what? He said he's out in the desert. I heard that prophecy Christ talked about right from this guy's mouth, and that's what he was talking about. And of course, about a week later, they were off the air completely. But that's how far some people go with some of this stuff. And none of that was true at all, of course, as we all know. But it was interesting that he stuck to his thinking. But anyway, that's what he talked about. So let's go to Revelation 6 now and verses 3 and 4. Revelation 6 and verse 3 and 4. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, fiery red, a fiery red horse, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Well, the second seal is a red horse, and it's talking about war right here. So let's go back to Matthew 24 and verse 7. Matthew 24 and verse 7. Verse 7 through 14. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. Now, earthquakes doesn't mean just earthquakes in this sense. It means storms, it means gales, it means tornadoes, it means earthquakes and hurricanes. Then there will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At the time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And the many false prophets, he's talking about liars here and untruthful people, this as we heard about a minute ago, appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel is a word that means good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I'm sure that's talking about the two witnesses preaching here. And they go on for quite some time, I know. I don't remember just how long that is, but they're there for quite a while. Well, the red horse actually started out, in my opinion, with the army guided by Titus coming from Rome. And they came and they destroyed Jerusalem completely, and they destroyed the temple as well. And this may be a precursor or a forerunner from just one city. It could turn out to be cataclysmic. It could maybe be World War III. We don't know that, but it's talking about kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation, and that's what World War II and World War I was about. Quite a number of nations against quite a few other nations, and it just went on and on and on. It took a long time for America and other friendly nations to put an end to the last war. It was just terrific. As I look at the war going on over in Israel, I am amazed at some of the size of these pieces of concrete that are blown out of the earth. They're the size of a semi-truck. I don't know what kind of explosives we're using today, but some of this stuff is just beyond imagination. It's just amazing that there's so much destruction. Just amazing to me. Okay, that's the second seal. Now we get to the third seal. This will be Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like the voice of one of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of barley, excuse me, a quart of wheat for 1 day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for 1 day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." This is talking about scarcity of food. It's going to be very little food, and it's going to be metered out, and it's going to be very expensive. Anything that's scarce costs a fortune. And if you are making $100 a day and you only get a quart of wheat, I don't know how many loaves of bread that makes, but it may not be more than a couple. It's just amazing. And starvation will will be the order of the day with this black horse. Let's go to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke 21, verse 8. Watch out that you are not deceived. This is Christ speaking again, and that's the first thing he says here. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Nation will be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and famines, that's the black horse we're talking about, and pestilence in various places. And great signs also from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues, prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. This will result in your being a witness to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain your life. Very encouraging words at a particular time of evil. Okay, let's go from here to Revelation and the fourth horse. Revelation 6 and verse 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and the grave followed close behind him. Yes, when you have people dying, you have graves being dug. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, by plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Right now, there's estimated to be about 8 billion of us on this earth. And a quarter of 8 billion is 2 billion. So if this were to take place right now, there would be a total of 2 billion people die over these plagues and these famines and so on. So we're talking about a lot of problems, a lot of famine, a lot of plagues, and so on and so on. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea, that's modern Israel, flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back for his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be equaled again. For if those days are not cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, that's people who are called and chosen, those days will be shortened. And that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and great miracles to deceive even the elect, even the people of God, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So there's going to be great distress coming. And this is the just sort of the beginning of all these problems. Now let's go back to Revelation 6 again. And Matthew 24, verses 26 through 35. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not believe it. Here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it either. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. If the sun doesn't shine, the moon can't give any light because it's just reflecting light. So both of them will be out at one time if the sun goes out. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. And I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. See, this preacher didn't know what day he would come either, even though he was bound it was going to be the next day, and he was all wrong. Last verse in this grouping is verse 25, chapter 25 and verse 13. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. That's very true. We don't think we know the day or the hour either, and nobody tries to proclaim that we do. We just don't know. Okay, let's go to Revelation 6, verses 9-11. This is the fifth seal. There's no horse or rider. And we're going to start out in Matthew 24. No, we're going to skip that. We're going to go to Revelation 6 and verse 12 through 17. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, and the sun turned black, black as sackcloth, made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the skies fell, as figs drop from a fig tree when it's shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and princes and generals, the rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called on the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who is on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who can stand? Okay, the last one is the seventh seal. And we're going to get done early. We're going to go to Revelation 8, verses 1 and 2. This is the seventh and final seal. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. Verse 7. The seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. So the seventh seal consists of seven trumpet blasts of more agony, more suffering, greater agony and greater suffering, more bloodshed, more pain than we've seen in these first six seals. It's just amazing what's going to come. Take care, brethren. Have a great Sabbath.